started using the Raid Scout Rifle because it's exactly like the DMR in Halo.
Nice.
Perfect, straight up and down recoil, and then it has a really sad, it sounds like you're punching holes through God when you shoot it. It's great.
Punching holes through God?
Yeah.
Is that like the name of a metal song?
It is now.
It should be.
Hello, and welcome to the 75th? Planet Destiny podcast? 75th Planet Destiny podcast, sponsored by Blue Microphones and Headphones. And, there wasn't a hell of a lot of information that came out in this E3. There was some. Bungie just decided, oh yeah, so we're just going to drop 2.3 patch.
Boom.
Yeah. Yeah, what was up with that? They were like, hey guys, here's patch notes. Oh yeah, and it's here. I was like, what? Yeah. Excuse me?
Well, no, like, it came...
At least a few weeks.
It was...
Yeah.
It was, we'll fix the thing that you guys have noticed is wrong in tomorrow's game update, 2.3.0.
You're like,
oh.
Yeah, I was
is there an update coming?
And they're like, and by the way, invisible people and 2 damage on your weapons. Awesome, right?
Make the crucible fun again.
Have fun with
Trials.
That. See ya.
Oh, yeah. I wonder how Trials is going to be this sweet if they don't fix the whole 2 damage thing.
They better not cancel it, is all I'm saying.
I agree.
Yeah, I was actually looking forward to it this weekend.
Yeah. It's going to be everyone using Grasp of Malak, right?
Exactly.
Oh, it's going to be great. Yeah. And then people that got a Grasp of Malak don't know that theirs is actually probably really bad, and they haven't had time to really get used to the weapon either, so it'd just be a slaughter fest.
Yep.
It'd be great.
I need to farm for
looking
one.
Looking forward to it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You need to train that trigger.
Start
also, start working out.
If you guys are farming for a gum, and you happen to get one with Exhumed, Guerrilla Fighter.
Those are the best.
The absolute best.
Those are
the best.
God roll.
Yes.
Bring it directly to
post it on Twitter and watch the feedback come in.
No, just take it in trials. Trust me. First time you ever use it, in trials.
Best possible roll would be Exhumed. Let's see. Is there something like massive
oiled frame?
Stability?
Is some oiled frame?
Faster reload, reduced range. No. I want like...
Sword of Aegis. How about this one? Sword of Aegis. The weapon deals bonus damage.
That's really
Minotaurs.
Good. No, but I think it's really roll with Exhumed.
Definitely solid.
That's going to kill it.
Reinforced Arrow because that just nukes the stability. And then Guerrilla Fighter.
And Guerrilla Fighter. Go. That's right. Guerrilla
God
Fighter.
Roll.
That's
also,
the roll.
In case you have a question about your Grasp of Malak roll, I put out a video that told you all the good possible perks. So hopefully that will like stem the flood of, hey, Patrick, is this grasp of is this a good roll? And then you post like all 20 of the grasps that you got in the past like 3 hours, and I just die a little inside every time. I love helping you guys, but please stop with the weapon roll. Thanks.
Also, how do I change the blade on my lawnmower? It's a Craftsman 5000 series.
Yeah.
Hey Patrick, I got red dot OES, counterbalance, braze frame, and feeding frenzy. Should I scrap it?
Yes.
I know. No gorilla fighter. What am I
it's
thinking?
Out.
Seriously, there's a if trials ends up getting canceled this weekend due to one of the bugs that got introduced in the patch, then hey, congrats everyone! You have even more time to just go farm your Grasp of Malak.
Have you guys actually run into it though?
Yeah.
I haven't actually
I ran
seen
to the invisible guys.
Yeah,
I ran to the 2 damage, and I was like, okay, well, I'm just gonna hold triangle here for a little bit and not do this PvP thing for a little bit for a while.
I only saw it once. I played it last night for like 8 hours. Surprisingly, Crucible. Yeah, Crucible 8 hours, roughly 8 hours. I only saw it once. I also farmed the GOM for 10 hours, so I might be delirious.
Yeah. you get about
just about
10 hours.
You get about 10. About. I think you get like, what, about 5 or 6 per hour? I think that's
roughly.
Roughly about 5 or 6 per hour.
Conservatively, yeah. I had at least 40. I mean, after, like, if it was 334, if it was 334, I was like, dismantle. You know?
Oh, that's great. That's great.
All of my exotics are 335 now that are primary.
Yeah. By the way, everyone, we're talking about Grasp of Malak because the Nightfall this week. After they introduced the 2.3 patch, it changed over to Omnigul. And as we all know, whatever when it's the Nightfall, if there's a boss in there that has like specific drops, like the Dust Palace, when Dust Palace is around, it's like, hey, we can all farm the cloaks or...
Hell yeah, I did that.
Whatever. Every boss has, like, specific drops that can happen, and just so happens everyone's been really, really wanting Omnigul because Grass of Malak, and look what happens. It's finally...
Delivered.
Finally delivered.
I'll say what my team was doing.
Sweet,
I know, right?
Revenge on Omnigul,
so my team,
too.
I was running Tether, and it would be Black Hole, and I was using Bad Juju. My other two teammates were running Celestial Nighthawk Golden Gun with Deadeye perk. And the trick to making sure you can do it every single time is you have to get the kill with Deadeye, with the Golden Gun. So it creates orbs for your Tether. And the Tether has to hit the floor. It can't hit Omnigul for some reason. And then the guy who is tethering should get as many kills in the middle as possible to get that super back. Because you'll pump out a good 7 orbs pretty easily if you're killing with all the with the tethered enemies. And then the 2 Golden Guns will get their super back like almost immediately from that. So if you time that properly, you'll get a... It's like, boom, she's down, boom, she's down, over and over.
Ah, fantastic. So yeah, that's pretty much what everyone has been doing this week. Also, we said there was a patch that dropped. Yeah, they're like, there's going to be a bug that's going to be fixed in the 2.3 patch tomorrow. Excuse me, what? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. You guys probably want patch notes. Here you go. And then I was like, oh, boy. So,
patch notes. Though.
Usually we have like, you know, 2 or 3 weeks of like,
yeah, like a warning
of like forewarning knowledge to go into the whole, hey, there's going to be some class changes coming in this update.
But yeah, like, especially class changes, right?
Yeah, like, Hunters.
Titan one was big. Warlock
Titan one was big. Warlock's one. They did a fucking stream for it, and then Hunter's like, hey, you Hunters are kind of a stealthy bunch, so we're just going to stealth. Balance your class. Have fun.
Yeah, it was out of nowhere. They were just like, hey, you know how you've been playing Blade Dancer for so long in a specific way?
Not anymore. When the patch came out, they're like, oh yeah, by the way, your one good grenade that you really have, we're nerfing that as well. So it's like, wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was... Well, I still got kills with Skip Grenade. I mean,
yeah,
I only
it's still strong.
Blade. Yeah,
it's still strong. It's just not going to basically solo someone. Can I go on a Patrick rant just very briefly?
Do it, man.
Throwing knives, bring it. Let's go.
Yeah, so basically, look, I knew my day was coming. Gunslingers, or like Hunters in general, were going to get balances. And I have faith in Bungie. I'm genuinely curious as to why they quote... Okay, where's throwing knife? The throwing knife was created... Okay, so I'm just going to read the patch note part here. The throwing knife was creating some frustration, especially with the incendiary blade upgrade, so we nudged the damage down slightly. So I read that first part, and I'm like, okay, they're going to nerf the damage of incendiary blade. This will ensure that low armor players can't be killed in a single headshot with the extra burn from damage from the incendiary blade upgrade. I'm like, okay, cool. So this further makes me think they're going to nerf the damage of the incendiary blade perk itself. No! They nerfed the base damage of throwing knife by 10%.
And I'm like, wait. Who are these people who are frustrated by throwing knives?
Right. Yeah, like, so it said no one in the community.
Nobody in the community
ever.
So,
throwing knives and they're burning and they're killing me. Yeah, so.
I can count with 2 arms because this is how many times I've died to burning throwing knives single headshot. One was a godly moment. Which, like, should go down in history, but no one recorded. It was like a cross-map knife at the beginning of a Trials of Osiris map. And I'm like, I couldn't be mad at it. It was amazing. The other time was just me being in a stupid... 2 times over the past, like, 2 years of Destiny, I have been killed by the throwing knife thing. The other thing is that the only time it happened was to low-armor players. Which, if you're running low-armor, generally, it's because you're a hunter. Because Warlocks and Titans can run fucking max armor, which the entire fucking meta... is really going around the high armor because trip mine can kill you if you're low armor, and I guess throwing knife too, apparently, which no one ever got killed by because no one was ever talking about it because everyone was fucking running high armor. I'm more disappointed that throwing knife as a whole was nerfed by 10% because of one perk. Why the fuck wasn't that one perk adjusted? Because that if that's the problem. Scalpel. Use the scalpel, not the sledgehammer.
With a lot of different perks, too.
And I really can't be surprised because they've done that for basically everything. Auto rifles. Whole auto rifle archetype. Just flush that down the toilet for a little bit. You know, shotguns as a whole, because Fellwinters is overpouring. Flush that down the toilet a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I expected when I read Throwing Knife, but it sure as shit wasn't that. And it's only a 10% nerf, but it's actually, in PvE, it doesn't matter. It's not noticeable. Throwing knives weren't a huge thing there. But in PvP, it is unbelievably noticeable. That was my Patrick rant. In other news,
it's warranted, man. No,
I feel like that.
Whenever I got unicorned, yeah. I'd be like, "That was awesome."
Right.
Me. Congratulations.
It's not super easy to hit headshot.
It doesn't have track,
especially
doesn't have
consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone was doing it to me consistently, I'd be like, "Okay, you got good with throwing knives. Good for you." I'm mad, but I can't be mad at you, and I'm not mad at throwing knives. I don't know anyone who got mad at throwing knives.
Yeah, nobody said Jesus. Throwing knives need to be nerfed. They're like the firebolts of gunslingers.
I don't know anybody who was talking about trip mines either, to be honest with you.
At least with the trip mine, let me find the trip mine change. The trip mine grenade has been the dominant grenade for a while. I kind of agree there, because most people, whenever I stream, they're like, "Why are you not running trip mine? It's really good." And it's like, well, at the higher skill levels, Incendiary Blade is a little
bit
better.
Is it really good?
No, it is.
Is it really good?
It is.
Really?
No, Incendiary Grenade is the better grenade.
No, Trip Mine. Trip Mine.
Oh, Trip Mine? Yeah, no, Trip Mine is a really good grenade. It entirely zones out an area and, you know, makes you stop,
maybe,
shoot.
Or maybe you just run through it and don't take any damage.
Exactly. That's the other
Could
thing.
Could do that.
Yep. That's one of the things about the Trip Mine change that I was kind of, like, confused about is, okay, so you're trying to make it more of a trap grenade. Cool, whatever. It only lasts 10 seconds normally, so maybe they should, you know, buff the actual time of it on if they want it to be a trap grenade in the original iteration of it. They should make it last longer, and then maybe make the, I don't know, Omkar grass really absurd. Who knows? But they want it to be a trap grenade. You want to throw it on walls and set it and forget it, and then maybe you bait someone into it later. 10 seconds doesn't give you a hell of a lot of time to do that.
Mm. No.
But then, you know, they
and it's not like the lightning grenade where you throw it behind somebody and it, you know, it does a huge burst of damage right away and then it follows up for the kill. Turbine grenade, you get that one shot with it, and if it doesn't kill them, you know, they go running behind the cover or wherever.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they just run through it and it doesn't do anything because it explodes after they're already through it.
That's the other thing, is that with the change to trip mine and they're wanting it to be more, you know, this trap grenade, there wasn't a full rebalance done on it. It was like they kind of got halfway there on the reworking of it. And it's like, okay, so if you want it to be a trap grenade, why don't you also cause it to explode a little bit quicker so you can't just sprint through it or slide through it? It already forced everyone into a high armor meta, and then they reduce it, so now you can get a little bit more armor. I don't know, it's weird. I feel like I'm just complaining because, oh, my stealth class got nerfed, but the choices just feel odd.
First off, you can't get the get it off metal anymore because they essentially removed the stickiness on a guardian.
Did trip mine have a specific metal associated with it?
Wasn't it?
I thought it was all stickies.
Oh, my bad. Okay,
so you,
well,
you
first
can still
off,
get it with Blade Dancer then.
Okay, so aside from the get it off metal, you can't get that from other stickies. I didn't realize that because I usually don't run the other stickies. I just don't understand the reason to take off the stickiness of it. Because that was also another skilled technique to be able to chuck a trip mine.
It didn't have any tracking like other grenades did.
Yeah, in fact, it is the most difficult grenade to get a stick with.
Because there's no tracking to it. Most of the sticky grenades have tracking.
I see both sides to this one. If they... The trip mine, if you were to say, okay, you have this grenade that you can stick to a wall that will zone out an area that does massive damage, but is also utilitarian in that you can use it in an offensive manner by sticking it to someone as well. It's a huge grenade, or it's a grenade that has a lot of multi-purpose uses. And it might do a little bit too much.
But the problem was, okay, so you can claim it does too much, but what it does poorly. Like
exactly.
You can stick it to an enemy, but it doesn't track like other sticky grenades. You can set a trap with it, but it doesn't do it effectively because it's so easy to avoid, and there's like that delay on it that just means that you can run right past it and not take any damage. Usually when I get a kill with a trap You know, like when I've set a trap, it's because somebody's completely unaware of it because I threw it behind them and they're backing up into it. You know, something like that. It's not because I set a perfectly timed trap and then I can, you know, I can not take care of that doorway because I know my trap is there and I can focus on that doorway. That's not going to happen. That guy's going to come right through that.
Yeah, the other part of the trap grenade is that, okay, so it's a trap grenade. Then why the fuck does it have a beacon that you can see while you're on Mercury? Like, it's that red light, whatever. Maybe I just have blue eyes or something.
No, it's definitely very obvious when you see that.
Yeah.
It makes a very
The other utility of it was like, you know, attaching it to a control point, then running away and going, you know, go to another control point. And then if somebody shows up to that control point unaware, they just happen to, you know, jump up into it. Now they're just going to be reduced to like 1 HP or whatever, 2 HP. You know? And they're not going to get it. Like, I felt like that was part of the grenade, was being able to put it in certain places and get kills because people were just not paying attention.
Maybe it's my fault because I always dice trip mines.
Yeah, maybe it's you. They like Bungie tunes into your streams and they're like, God, Watts dies all
they're
the
like,
time.
This
we
is
need to
really
fix that.
Overpowered, guys.
But you don't die to the sticky portion of it. You always die to one like stuck on a wall that you just don't see, even though it's always there.
Yeah, I don't see like where it's angled at, and I'm like, oh no.
That's the one consistency that you do have. You will die to trip mines if there's one on the map.
But now maybe I won't.
Not anymore though.
The thing is, you have to be very specific now with the trip mine. You have to either start an engagement with it or end an engagement with the trip mine. And, like, say, lightning grenades have a two pulse. They have the ability to get a kill off the lightning grenade. I just feel like the trip mine has now been reduced. Like, they nerfed it in a way where now it's like, okay, why use a trip mine? You might as well use an incendiary nade because you can bounce them around walls if you're going to start or end an engagement. That incendiary nade is honestly much more effective. Trip mine starter engagement.
It was more effective until this patch also introduced a fun little bug in which all things that burn don't actually burn for their full damage. Everything's burning for 4 now instead of 7.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So hey, there's your incendiary blade nerf. I can't say it was all bad though. One of the things that was really needed was like Circle of Life to get changed. And Circle of Life, precision kills with throwing knife, now reduce the cooldown of Golden Gun. Great. Like, because no one was going to get a throwing knife kill while they're in Golden Gun because it didn't one-shot anyone anyway unless they were using Incendiary Blade. Oops. and Scavenger now increases the amount of grenade and melee awarded by 33%. Picking up one brick of ammo will give you about 20% charge to both grenade and melee.
That's actually really good. It's extremely
powerful now. It was really great in the raid. The second I saw it, I was like, okay, I'm going to try it. Saw how much ammo I picked. I'm like, cool. Gunslinger's Trance, don't need it anymore. This is a much better perk in that tree. And then maybe you could just... Well, I would say, you know, throw the functionality of Keyhole into Golden Gun, but I don't want to ask for too much because you guys did, holy shit, buff the crap out of Golden Gun. Also, a Celestial Nighthawk shot to Golgoroth that has a tether on him while you're in the Pool of Light will do 360,000-ish damage.
Jeez, that's a lot of damage.
I was able to do 2 per like when I was doing it with Datto, we do the 6 orb strat. So I was able to get 2 golden gun shots off per damage phase.
The last defender of the 6 orb strat.
Yeah, I know. He's the only guy that's doing it. Only guy that's doing it. And then I was able to get 1 more golden gun shot off after we killed Ads. And then, so in total, my golden gun shot did 1.2 million damage at the end of that.
Nice.
So that's kind of awesome. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah, that is a lot.
Golden gun feels useful now. Thank you, Bungie. Yep. In other news, Blade Dancer also feels very useful now in PvE, especially in the weekly. We'll get more into the weekly in a little bit because it has Arcburn and Brawler, and it's just hilarious.
They made big changes to the Blade Dancer. Mm-hmm. Big changes. Like, the way it plays is very different now.
Yeah.
Yep. Also, Blink is almost useless with it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
With it.
Your weapons are so slow.
All the time.
Yeah, all Bones of Ao, definitely. Bones. I mean, Tarantel is great, though, because you get that super back quicker and also the grenades. But I've been using Blink for like a year and a half now with my Blade Dancer, and I have to retire it officially because of this patch. I'm not sad about it. It's just, it's a different Blade Dancer than what I'm used to. So you can't just blink up and then cut through the air twice to get to somebody or something like that, or like cut back easily. Like that gameplay feels completely removed. You now have to pop your blade in a more tactical situation, which makes sense. It should. It's a super that you should be popping in a tactical situation. You shouldn't be popping it halfway across the map and being like, I'm going to go run into the enemy team and wreck them, you know? So that's good in that sense. But it is a very awkward feeling. It feels more sluggish. It feels more, I don't know, it's not the same blade. But
well, they added like a cooldown between how often you can actually swing it.
Exactly.
Which means that racing through the air by swinging your arc blade
gone.
Just doesn't seem to work anymore.
Yeah.
And as you're swinging it, you're getting an increase, you're increasing the amount of super you're taking up. So unless you're actually connecting with it, if you're just whiffing it and using it as a mobility perk, then it just runs out a lot faster, too.
It runs out extremely quick if you only use it for mobility. It's alarming how quick it goes
Which
away.
is one of the primary reasons people used it. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen good players make good plays by just escaping using their blade dance, recovering, and then going, going to revive a player in trials or, turn around a corner and baiting somebody with their sniper rifle. But it was a useful tool just for mobility, and that is kind of gone.
Yeah, it's very different now. And again, you can't use the blink. The blink was great for getting above people's heads and confusing them and like swiping back and forth. That's essentially nerfed at this point.
Yeah, the entire play style of Blade Dancer has really shifted. Unfortunately, I don't play Blade Dancer as much as one should. I only do Night Stalker and Gunslinger, so I can't really comment on how much it's actually changed. You should get like Crafty or something on the podcast and have him actually talk about it.
You also get a recovery penalty for running Blink. Mm-hmm. So that, being able to escape using Blink means that, okay, you escaped around that corner, but the enemies are going to have longer to come around that corner and, you're not going to have recovered.
Yeah. It's complete trade-off. Do you want to get away from them and take longer to recover by using Blink, or do you want to just try and run away and get your health back?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a big change.
Yeah.
I haven't had time to really figure out if I like it or not, to be honest with you.
No. I think so Trials, different. Hopefully if Trials is here and they don't cancel it, I think Trials this weekend will be a big kind of playground for us to see what we like and what we think about stuff, because it's being used in more of a competitive environment, especially with the Crucible being so broken.
Right.
People haven't really been able to test much. So hopefully with Trials and it hopefully being fixed and not canceled, we can actually mess around with some stuff and see what is actually strong.
Yeah. Chad is saying that Crafty apparently loves the changes to Blade Dancer, so I'd really like to hear his opinion on it,
because he's
one of the better Blade Dancers that I've ever seen.
Definitely.
Maybe I'll just do, like,
I was gonna say,
a little video
I was gonna
on
say
it
also,
them.
Yeah, I was going to say also that it it's like it is changed in a good way, because they added that 1 yard of area searching, so you do connect better. There's less whiffing. You can still give people haircuts or like cut their feet and doesn't connect, which is annoying. But if you are in the range of people, you're less likely to get short stopped, which is nice. So you can boom, hit them. You don't lose as much super energy either upon hitting them. And then if there's another person already like relatively close, chances are it's going to lock on. So you can actually get like triple and breakers with it easier now, in my opinion, than it was before.
I think the thing is, the skill floor of the class was raised with the patch. Mm-hmm. Whereas it used to be like you play around with it for a little bit and you can kind of get a grasp for how Blade Dancer works, how you're supposed to use the super. It was really mobile. So it's like, cool, I can use my super, get in a little bit closer. Now you have to plan it out a little bit longer. You have to really, really know the capabilities of the super before you can actually start using it. It's not as friendly as it used to be. So,
I think higher jump is required now.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So
the damage of it was increased by 30% against AI combatants, which is real nice.
And then Encore will increase the damage by 150% if you kill something. So
go in there and kill them Titans sitting in bubbles.
Yeah. Well,
if you get a kill before.
For PvE, was great. Cause, like, if
for
there's
PvE,
a,
it's amazing.
It was like, oh, there's a boss here, and there's an ad right there. Huh. kill the ad, and then just, oh my god, boss is just getting absolutely annihilated. It was great.
That's really great, because Blade in PvE was just...
It was trash. You could use a Blade. The captain at, like, the start... We'll have to wait until the, like, heroics aren't arc anymore to really get a grasp for it. Or at least I will in PvE. But, like, the Titan at the start of the Tanic Strike... Or there's a fallen captain there that for some reason has, like, the health of an Ultra on normal mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wasn't a problem. It was great.
He's great.
Nice. Nice.
Mm-hmm. So... Moving over to Night Stalker. What's one thing that everyone hated about going up against a Night Stalker?
The constant floppy fish. The spamming of the circle.
And the wombo combo. And the wombo combo. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? That's what they changed. And some other changes. Like the main. First off, Watson and I call it floppy fish because that's what we just end up yelling.
It looks
like
a floppy fish, yeah.
Yeah, it's like he's just flopping around everywhere. On this map, and now you can't flop anymore. You can only kind of parkour for a little bit. That got nerfed, so it's only you have one charge on the 3-second cooldown. So you can it'll flop.
I was really happy about that.
Yeah, smoke bomb no longer causes you to like lose movement speed in it. So that's awesome, because that was really fucking annoying to get tagged by the edge of a smoke grenade, and then, okay, now I'm blind, I can't move anywhere, and I know I'm probably getting ready to eat a shotgun, and then you do.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some other balances done to a spike grenade. I was actually really happy to see that they changed spike grenade, and then also buffed the one on Titans, because it's kind of trash, because it takes too long to do its damage.
No one really uses it. Yeah.
The biggest thing, though, for Night Stalker, which I think... is the best benefit, is that it immediately suppresses now on hit for when you pop that.
The Shadow Shot.
Yeah, the super feels amazing.
Yeah.
The super feels so good. Mm-hmm. It was, because now even if you aren't hitting people directly and you're just tethering a bunch of people, like you're playing Control, for example, they all get tethered and suppressed immediately.
Yeah.
And you're able to actually take them out. I noticed that I would go from... probably popping it in a huge group of people and dying after using to them getting suppressed instantly and me able to get 3-4 kills pretty easily. So it was a huge... It feels so good.
Yeah, and taking out supers right away, excellent.
Because I have tethered many times and a Titan comes through my tether, Fist of Havoc's me, and I'm like...
And then he's tethered after.
Yeah,
after
he's tethered after. Yes.
That delay never made sense. I'm glad they fixed it.
But so did anybody run Shade Step? I don't run Shade Step.
Yeah.
I ran it. Anytime I ran it, I Shade Step.
Shade Step feels like what it should be. It should be a tactical decision of, there's an Axiom Bolt chasing me. I'm going to Shade Step and get out of it, and then I'm vulnerable to other things, or I'm going to use it to get around this corner. You have to actually think about it, and I love that, because before it was just, I'm in trouble, I'm going to Shade Step to get out of every trouble ever. And I don't think it should have been a get-out-of-jail-free card for every situation. Because people would check corners by shade-stepping in and out. They would go around corners shade-stepping. They would be able to shade-step a firebolt. So now it's actually knowing what you're coming up against. Do I want to save my shade-step to get out of an Axiom Bolt or a firebolt or whatever? Do I want to use it to check a corner? Do I want to use it to get away? You actually have to think about what you're doing.
You can't double shade step up to someone and then shotgun them. Like,
right.
Yeah.
I loved it because it made it more of a skilled thing to use instead of just flopping all over the place, being super annoying, usually not killing anything, but still being really annoying, to actually being a tactical decision and a skilled usage of Shade Step. So I really like the change.
It's funny, the Night Stalkers, they really buffed the super, but they really nerfed the neutral game for Night Stalkers. Like a big, like in just about every area.
Yeah.
Nice.
But smoke does do more damage on impact now. 34%. Yeah.
That's true.
And I think that's what actually made me really happy, is that the Night Stalker has now been tuned a little bit to take a little bit more skill to actually play effectively. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what they did. They haven't made it useless at all. The super's a lot better, so they've made that part of the class way better than it was before. And now you just have to aim your wombo combo, and you have to be a little bit more tactical with your shade step.
Yeah.
There's two more things I wanted to go over. One is the Warlocks. The other is that thing that you've been asking for. And Briar, you want to do it because you've been wanting it. You do
it. Sunbreakers.
Yeah. No. Yeah. We'll do.
We should save the Warlocks last.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk about Warlocks last.
Hammer of Soul travel speed increased by 1.3%. Hammer of Soul hammer detonation radius increased by 10%. Hey. Hammer of Soul is now a valid super again, and it is super fun to use.
That's like the one thing that you've been asking for.
I'll be honest with you, it is fun to use again, but I do not think it's overpowered the way it sits right now. I'm very happy with the way it sits. When I throw a hammer and I feel like it's a well-aimed hammer, I feel like I get a kill, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
This, in combination with what they did with hit detection in Update 2.2, I feel like these two combined patches have made the Sunbreaker a very fun choice.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm scared of hammers now. Again.
Yeah.
Before I was like,
it's super. It's a roaming
You're like,
super.
Yeah, I'm just going to go up and like shotgun you and you'll die. You're not going to hit me.
I would take my chance. I'd be like, I'm going to try to snipe this guy. You know, chances are he's not going to hit me with that hammer. Right. Now, it's almost a guarantee. I'm going to die from that hammer.
Yeah, the extra 10% detonation radius really helped.
Yep.
Yeah. Should we talk about Sunsingers?
Okay, so the other big change, we need to move the podcast along tonight, guys. The other big change that we wanted to go over, Warlocks.
Yes.
It apparently wasn't that difficult to nerf because then
I love this change so much.
Apparently it was though, because they look what they did. They made invisible players.
Yeah,
Jesus. It could have been much worse if they did it before.
I mean, firebolts. Jesus. Yeah.
Okay, so firebolts. It has the arming time of it increased by 0.2 seconds, and then the search radius of the firebolt has been reduced by 1 meter. So slightly smaller area, slightly longer time for it to actually, you know, zap someone.
So you can react to it and get out of the way.
Yeah, more time to react.
Mm-hmm. And more
room for error if you... Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Viking Funeral no longer extends the duration of ignite effects. Mm-hmm. Now it weakens targets afflicted with ignite effects, causing them to take 5% more damage from all sources, stacking up to 3 times.
So basically, it's kind of like it's a mini damage boost, like you would get from Melting Point or Night Stalker Super.
And it stacks with both of them. Right.
Yeah.
So suddenly, Sunsingers, aside from just being an oops button, also have a use in the raid or in high-end PvE, which is nice.
That's
fantastic.
Nice.
I did some PvE with a Sunsinger, and I was like, wow, I'm actually being useful to my group. You know what's really great on Golgoroth? A Sunsinger popping his super about halfway through, spamming grenades around the arena and on Golgoroth to get a damage boost while you're in between all the Night Stalker super's gone, the Titan bubble is gone. It's like, oh, we can get some extra damage on Golgoroth now because he's burning and on fire. Yeah, so it's a PvE buff. It's a PvE utility buff. And for PvP, it can still be relevant, but it's not going to be like the most useful thing to possibly run for Sunsingers. In addition to that, Flame Shield also has a 0.3 second delay added before the Overshield activation.
For when you're in boxing matches.
Yeah, and so now you can.
I think that's fair.
You can fisticuff with a Warlock now and win.
Yeah.
They don't get
carried. A Sunsinger.
Yeah, a Sunsinger. Yeah. You don't fisticuff with a Stormcaller because you're dead before you can even start fisticuffing.
Yeah, that's like fisticuffs somebody who's got a 10-foot wingspan.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They just kind of flick you on the forehead from a really far distance.
They flick you through boxes, through walls. Yeah, you see that lightning bolt come through the wall. You're like, okay, great. Well done, Stormtrance, or Stormcaller.
Do you want to talk about the weapon stuff?
Oh my god, I forgot there was weapon stuff too.
There's weapon stuff too.
Let me pull up these weapon changes.
There's a lot of people saying that Sunsinger's ruined.
For PvP, they are no longer infamous, but they still demand respect. They have a lot of utility there. Time will tell. And even then, you still got two other really fucking good subclasses for PvP.
And Voidwalker, especially with the nerf to Shade Step, using Axiom Bolts is more viable because do you want to dodge the Axiom Bolt or do you want to dodge something else? So people probably be using Voidwalker a lot more.
Do you think the Nova Bombs feel like the radius got increased from the damage buff? I don't know if you've experienced some like Nova Bomb radius stuff.
The damage itself got raised, so
yeah, it got a 50% buff.
It got a 50% buff, so I'm guessing that instead of the damage being like this is where the fall off is going to happen, it feels like the fall off starts happening at like this.
That's what I'm saying. It happened to me in PvP last night, and I was like, "Whoa!" I was really outside of that Nova Bomb.
I've heard other reports of that, and I think it's just because the damage buff has kind of increased. Yep. It's not the damage fall off. It's just it's doing more damage within the range that it normally would. So
yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
I noticed that last night, and I was like, Jesus, that Nova Bomb. I was like, no thanks, Nova Bomb. And he was like, yes, thanks. Yes, thanks. You're going to die.
So hand cannons. Increased initial accuracy and decreased accuracy drop for low-range hand cannons. Made damage fall-off curve steeper to better coincide with intended effective range of hand cannons, and a small increase to PvE damage to all hand cannons.
Hand cannons felt good in PvE.
I've heard a lot of people saying that like First Curse feels really good and fun to use. And
First Curse is very good. It feels like a scout rifle, honestly.
And Ace of Spades is apparently super fun and good as
Last Word is more reliable.
Yeah, people are saying the hand cannons in general are feeling a lot better than they did. More reliable, more consistent.
The Phantom Bullet Syndrome has been greatly reduced.
Last Word for me felt the same. Like, really? I've been using it for the past 2 months, like almost exclusively. And in PvP, it's like if you get into a laggy match, you get Phantom Bullets. It's netcode. But if you're in a good match, like, yeah, it's straight up netcode. If I was in a good match prior to the patch, maybe like two bolts for Phantom. If I'm now, it's the same thing. It's like maybe two bullets might be Phantom, or just might be bad aim or anything like that. It didn't feel that different with the Last Word for me.
I ended up testing Zowie's Bane because it's an absolute piece of shit of a hand cannon. And sure. I was like, you know what? Let's just scrape the bottom of the barrel here. And if the bottom of the barrel feels okay, I'm just gonna go out on a limb and say the rest of the top of the barrel is gonna be pretty good. Bottom of the barrel felt okay until I got disconnected from Firefly crashing the game.
I was using a bunch of them yesterday, and I felt like instead of having to like wait for that gun to settle all the time, I could just fire as fast as I wanted. If I felt like that crosshair is on somebody's head, I was getting a headshot. Like, it felt good. Nice. I liked it.
Pat, you should know I'm on the second week of my First Curse.
Oh, congratulations! You're only 7 months late.
Hey. Never too late, right?
But now it's actually good, right? So you chose a good time.
Yeah, it's a good
perfect time.
It's always been good, except for like that first absolute abomination for the first like 3 weeks of it, and then they buffed it, and then it was like, hey, it's pretty good, awesome. And then every iteration of the hand cannon buff was like, hey, this is getting better. This is really good. The thing that I'm confused about is they keep nerfing Hawkmoon because apparently,
they just don't want that thing to come back.
They are scared of Hawkmoon. One of the things that, you know, this patch did is it nerfed some primaries, but we're still in a situation where the reason sniper or shotguns and snipers are so appealing is because they're so effective. And primaries have, over the course of year two, been just slowly brought down to this level. And, you know, the few nails that have been sticking up have been hammered down over the course of year two as well. So that we have kind of this really low level of primaries, and you see these secondaries start to rise even more.
See, I think primaries are actually in a good spot. I think the time to kill that they're targeting is in a good spot. I think the shotguns are in a good spot too. Mm-hmm. It's sniper rifles that are an outlier. It's a lot of the sniper rifles with the high aim assist. It's very easy to use. They're very easy to use after you've been shot to still get a headshot on like that. I think sniper rifles really, really need a look here.
I don't know.
I think it's map design, honestly. I think map design is a bigger part of all this because it's set up to be either shotgun heavy or sniper lane heavy.
I don't agree because I could be in a mid-range engagement. I could, I could shoot you in the head. You could turn around, just swing your sniper rifle around. The thing's going to stop on my head whether I'm shooting you or not. You're going to pull the trigger and I'm dead.
I don't know. I don't think it's as easy as you think like that, in my opinion. Of course, then again, I don't have Hidden Hand on one of the sniper rifles. Maybe if I had Hidden Hand on the LDR, it'd be a different situation. But I feel like we've reached so many versions of the meta, and we've experienced all... Like, we're talking about counterbalance on these primaries, on on auto rifles, like the auto and semi-auto type of archetypes, because the only way that you can compete with scouts or hand cannons is because of the counterbalance in there in order to actually compete with those type of weapons. And so then the argument about the snipers is that they're too easy in those type of situations to be able to get drag scopes. I think it's the fundamental engine itself that can't really have all these perfect variations in there. Like, there is specific things that have to rise up and be the role that you have to do if you're competing against other people that have played the game for 1,000 hours. You know? I don't think there is an answer to be like, hey, you can have auto rifles without their crappy recoil patterns compete with a hand cannon that can 3-shot you or 4-shot you or whatever. I don't think that's ever going to be the case. You know, it has to be a laser beam in order for it to compete with that hand cannon. And sniper rifles have to, like, either the maps have to change in order for sniper rifles to have different roles, or we have to keep it the same way and people have to be shotgun warriors.
I don't know. My big problem with sniper rifles right now is it's just too easy to use them at close range. Like, they pulled back or they pushed forward on the zoom, but I don't think that really had much of an effect on them because, you know, I could tell you from personal experience, I get snipes, you know, from people in the same room I am in that I don't really deserve to get. It's just that, you know, I could just move my sniper rifle scope up to them and it, you know, the sniper rifle scope just basically stops at their head and then, okay, it's time to fire. I don't know. To me, it feels like an imbalance to me.
Having gone from, you know, an absolute shit sniper to a pretty consistent one, I can tell you there's to be able to do those types of things that you're describing, Briar, does take some level of dedication in terms of raising your skill level. You know,
it takes some dedication and being patient enough to get a high aim assist sniper rifle with hidden hand.
You have to get used to firing it.
You have to practice with it. But, I mean, the fact is the thing slows down dramatically once it hits somebody's, you know, body or head. Mm. Like, it gives you plenty of time to get that timing right.
I mean, we all know Destiny holds hands when it comes to the aiming. Like, the aim assist is definitely built around
that. It's a console shooter. It does need some form of aim assist. Briar, I think you wouldn't be the only one that's been saying snipers do have a little bit too much of, like, the stickiness. They don't have bullet magnetism, but...
My guess is that what Bungie will end up doing is making the game more primary focused in general going forward and having special weapons and heavy weapons even more special than they currently are. Because then that way...
I could see that.
Yeah, I think that's what they've tend to be reaching towards anyway. It's like, we want you guys to use your primary as your primary thing. Yeah. And then special weapons, they're going to kind of keep... I think they're going to make them even more special to actually use. So then if you have high aim assist on a sniper, but you don't actually get to use it that much, I think that might cause people some less frustration.
Mm-hmm. So how about that Prison of Elders this week? Like the melee bonus, trickle, fresher. It's pretty rough. And then the rooms that are in there are just not helpful for getting a melee bonus at all. It's like one of them is Cabal, so have fun, yep. Right? Have fun right now. Yeah, have fun right now. I think the big thing though this week has been Grass of Malak. Everyone's been wanting to do that Grass of Malak farming.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hot right now. It is super hot.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Time to do it.
Go on Twitch. Tell me what, like, the top 20 people are streaming. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
It's Malak farming.
Yeah. We found out there's not going to be a collector's edition, which is kind of a bummer.
I think, yeah, I'm a little bummed about that.
Yeah. I was hoping for, like, a 6-foot-tall statue of Lord Saladin with a flaming axe that you could light on fire real time.
And wolves. And wolves, too.
I thought that was a reasonable thing. Yeah, a real-life wolf that comes in a box.
Real-life wolf comes with
that? Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be solid. You know, for, like... $60-$65-ish.
Yeah,
I don't want to pay too much.
I would pay for a collector's edition that gave me the trials, the new trials cloak, but in real life.
Yeah,
I would totally rock that kitty cat ear cape.
Yeah, I want the kitty cat ear cape. I'm not gonna lie. I might disown my Dead Zone Revolution cloak just for it.
Ooh,
big words. I know.
That is big words. They had that. They also Moments of Triumph Year 2 is confirmed.
Yeah, Fireteam Chat actually had a really great show. They had Deej and then Scott Taylor on, and Scott Taylor got to reveal some new little nuggets of info Year two moments of triumph will be a thing. We'll hear more about it on Bungie Day. So July 7th.
Oh, really?
Yeah, July 7th.
July 7th. Look,
that's right around the corner.
Date. Mm-hmm. Look for that.
Did you guys hear? You see that leak also mm-hmm. about what it's going to
yeah.
be?
Yeah.
Is it? It's really a leak. It's like some dude apparently like looked at the API and was able to figure out the moments of triumph, and they look like
or the Bungie app or something.
Yeah, they,
I mean,
they look
it
like,
made sense.
It mm-hmm. definitely like when I saw it, I was like, this doesn't seem out of the ordinary. Yeah, I believe mm-hmm. every single one of these.
Also done.
Yeah. Also. Also,
I'm
it's
not
like
done. Here, I like, can't but, remember what it was that I'm missing. I'm missing something.
Challenge modes. You don't PvE, do you?
Not too much.
Yeah.
Not too
You're
much.
Probably challenge
you
modes.
You gotta have. One of them was the Tom. So, guys, if you did not collect 50 calcified fragments to get the Touch Malice,
mm-hmm.
You might want to start doing that.
My
oh, wait.
I think
Malice
I think,
is 45.
It's 45, but
I think I got
yeah.
the 50. I was missing
I think to get
one.
50, you got like a shader or something.
Yeah, yeah. It was a big letdown. But, yeah, you have to get the 50 fragments for this year two thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you can check individually per character if you have the 50 now, I think, too.
Yeah, they made it more friendly. Supposedly it's going to be in-game, right? That you can check your yeah. moments of triumph?
That yeah. would be good.
Yeah. Like Challenge of Elders, think? I think, is on the list.
Yeah.
It's like Challenge of Raid, Hard Mode. Raid.
Yep, Raid Hard Mode. Do you think it's a step that they're going to put towards, potentially in Rise of Iron, that we're going to start getting some Grimoire things in-game? If there's going to
be
put,
nice.
Like, moments.
Maybe.
Yeah, moments of triumph in-game. Maybe start moving towards that type of library in the game.
Yeah. That is one of the moments of triumph will be in the game. You can track it through your actual game. You don't have to go to Bungie.net or use the app. You will probably be able to do it there, but you can also do it in game. That's going to be awesome to have there, and that would be cool if that does mean that they're starting to introduce like API functionality inside the game, so we can actually, I don't know, read the Grimoire.
Yeah,
yeah. I would love them to put voices to those too. It's like get voice actors to read those stuff like
it.
That.
I'll do some of it.
That'd be nice. Great.
I'll do some of it. yeah. No, that would be awesome. What? There was something else on Fireteam Chat. Moments of Triumph.
Cosmodrome.
We will still have our current version of the Cosmodrome selectable. Like you will be able to, if you want to go to the year one version of Cosmodrome, you will be able to go to that. But the Plaguelands will be basically selecting a different version of the Cosmodrome. The reason we say a different version is we've seen screenshots of the new of the Plaguelands, and most there is a lot of it that is the current Cosmodrome as well. And it's like it's really yeah. snowy. There's dead fallen walkers everywhere. Yeah.
So that was in the
There's
divide.
A breach in
they
the wall.
Yeah. They showed mm-hmm. Yeah, they showed a picture of the divide mm-hmm. looking yeah. at the wall with a huge crevice.
Yep.
Yeah. The only picture I saw of the current Cosmodrome with that breach in it was a shot-for-shot retake with a fallen walker mm-hmm. that was like it's currently there.
It's like the public event that had just happened. There's like a dead fallen walker. Now just add about 10 feet of snow on top of that. There you go. That's what it looks
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting if... Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what exactly they mean by this. I think you're right though. It's like you can go to the Plaguelands or the new version of the Cosmodrome, or you can go to the old Cosmodrome. That'll be weird how it shows up on the
yeah,
Destiny
that's
selector.
Yeah. I'm imagining the that there's going to be that continent, and then in addition to the continent underneath, or not continent, whatever the outline of the land mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. you select Earth, and then underneath the outline of that land, there's going to be an additional outline with the new missions and the new patrol right there. Mm-hmm. And I imagine you select the new patrol, and maybe you spawn in the divide, and you go through the wall, and that's how that patrol is. That's how I'm
imagining
it.
So, like, the first
it.
Time you go in,
that'd be like
mission?
The first mission. Yeah, yeah, that would be a mission.
And then because from then on, you just fly directly to the Plaguelands.
Yeah, because they have to keep the other stuff in order for new players to go through the beginning of the content. Yeah. You know, because if they, like, if that would be huge. Pulling all that apart and redoing it, like, it wouldn't make any sense for them to put that type of effort. So, it makes sense it would be two different patrols that you can select.
Mm.
Well, it
also,
seems to be like they'd have the old patrol and the new Plaguelands patrol, but you wouldn't be able to access the Plaguelands patrol until you went on a mission through the Cosmodrome, through that
right.
wall.
Right.
And then that opens up the
That
new,
would make sense.
Yeah.
Just like the Dreadnought, yeah.
The one thing I was kind of bummed about is in that interview as well, they said there will not be any new factions in this one. And I was really thinking that there would be something with
Didn't they say new factions in the trailer?
No,
That's what I thought too.
No, no, what they said in the press release is there's a new enemy faction.
Yeah.
Yeah, like there's the Siva Fallen. Yeah,
it was confusing the way they worded it.
Yeah. They could have just said new enemies.
Maybe still a new gun foundry. They didn't say new foundry.
No, like that's basically confirmed is that there is a new gun foundry because we've seen the Nadir. The Nadir machine gun. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's those. So I'm definitely that's at least a new weapon foundry faction to see. Or at least
we're gonna have new perks on weapons as well.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So there'll be new perks available for weapons. So
what do you guys think of those Siva weapons? You know, like I think they have the Tunella SR4 covered in Siva technology. Do you think? Okay, first off, do you think that's a completely new weapon, or do you think you're going to be able to apply something to your weapons to add Siva?
Yeah. I think it's a new weapon.
You don't think you're going to like add Siva technology to a weapon?
It could be interesting. New skins, skins for weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be possible.
Yeah, it might be something as simple as that, as a skin.
Now they dropped last gen. Right? We have the world open to us.
Yeah, more console. Power is there. More console, everyone. Actually had a great interview with Irk and Deej, and there are going to be some upgrades because of it being not on last gen. They only talked about some small visual upgrades.
Like 60 FPS?
No, I think that's a very big visual upgrade.
I think,
it's a massive one, in fact. It's literally doubling the FPS. It is really small stuff. I think it's mostly textures and everything like that. Speaking of the This Week at Bungie, Iron Banner's coming next week.
Yo,
nice.
Iron Banner. Get the Yolder's Hammer.
Scout Rifle and Yolder's Hammer.
Yep.
Colovalence's Duty, is that the name of the Scout Rifle?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind it. I'm okay with Clash.
Hate it.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like someone that's okay with Clash, Tefty.
No, honestly, I don't mind playing whether it's control or Clash. It's like you either slay with extra points or slay with regular points. I'm down for all of it.
I hate Clash.
I hate it so much.
I really like control because you just know where people are going to be. It's just, frankly, easier.
Yeah. I don't know, there's something about... I just like regular deathmatch. It's something about just the straight-up deathmatch. Team Slayer.
I would thoroughly enjoy Clash more often if the current matchmaking didn't put me with, four people on my team and six on the enemy team at the start. I know statistically we have more chances to get points, but it doesn't work that way.
I just like that ebb and flow of control, how you can... You know that B is being taken, so you know there's people over there and fighting over B. I like that kind of thing. It's fun.
Sure. It's like it's objective light, and it's nice.
Yeah.
This is just a hint of objective there. You know, if you want to slay, you can slay. If you want to take cat points, like a good teammate, you can do it. It makes sense. I enjoy all different varieties of it, and I definitely don't mind Clash. When it was Clash last time... Yeah, we came up against a few teams that were just super campy and sat in spawn, didn't move, and planted potatoes and had families and everything in the map.
Have you ever played Black Shield before?
Yeah, we played Black Shield in that too. Yeah, it could be painful.
Fun.
How about those doors? How about those doors?
I love those doors. Best thing ever.
Need more doors on that map, I think.
Those doors are sponsored, Bungie. They're sponsored by Red Bull, Doritos.
Double the doors.
Remove doors.
Year three, elevators.
No, the teleporters.
Oh, jump teleporters. We need more teleporters now. We need more teleporters.
Should we do some Twitter questions?
I think we can move to some Twitter questions. But before we do the Twitter questions, how about let's talk about Blue microphones?
Let's do it.
Because no doubt you've noticed these wild mics and headphones that we are using. They're just some of the iconic gear that Blue creates. Their Yeti USB mic is the internet's most popular microphone, clearly, because we all have five of them. And their MoFi and Lola headphones deliver totally insane sound and a very personalized fit. Mine finally got to the right springiness in them now, so I can just wear them around the house. It's great. Blue offers everything you need to completely immerse yourself in the ultimate gameplay experience. Learn more about Blue at bluemic.com.
This is actually an interesting question and something we forgot to talk about, I think. At Kazamuzza, if you can bring one exotic weapon and armor into year three, what would it be?
Bones.
So the rumor is right now that Infusion is going to work the same way it it oh, has yeah, wasn't in the that past. Confirmed? Yeah, that was confirmed.
That was confirmed, right?
That absolutely was confirmed. Infusion will work in the same way. Well, not absolutely confirmed. They haven't given specifics, but they have said that we like the current way that it works.
Right.
We're not really looking to change it. So I'm going to take that as Infusion really ain't going to get any changes. And the other thing that was kind of said in that statement that made me go, what, is that it sounded like our current stuff is going to be infusible up to year three.
What's going to make year two stuff good enough that you won't, or year three stuff good enough that you won't be using year two stuff? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. Maybe that year three stuff is going to be that year two stuff that we saw in the armory.
Right.
That's why you're only paying frankly. $30 for it, is because you already paid for that. They took $10 off the price because that $10 from Taken King was for the exotics that they didn't put in Taken King. That they kind of advertised, but you know, it's not really that, whatever.
They definitely advertised some of them.
Yeah,
they were in the trailer for Taken King.
We saw some of them.
Yeah. Well, okay, they're also going to most likely Icebreaker, Thorn.
No.
What else is missing? Vex,
not Icebreaker. I think they're really not going to do Icebreaker.
No. I'm pretty sure
it's coming back.
I'm pretty sure they said Icebreaker will not be coming back because it's...
Oh, really?
No, they said that?
100%?
They specified that one.
They specified Icebreaker because it's so difficult to design encounters around it. Even though, you know, you have in the current raid, Icebreaker...
They could change it, though.
Yeah, they could. They could completely rework the weapon. But in its current form, where it just regens ammo, it's not coming back. So.
I'm guessing they're going to have a revamped 2.0 version with some perk changes.
It'll have triple tap instead of regen ammo.
I'm like taking you seriously also at the same time. You think it's gone? No, I have memories of Icebreaker. It can't be gone. Yeah. I want
it'll
it back.
Come back as
many
a
hours
little,
spent
like,
in many cliffs shooting
pets.
Down.
I love those cliff experiences.
Pets in Destiny, you'll get a little pet Icebreaker. It's like half little baby dinosaur.
Lots pet. You really need to start playing World of
Warcraft.
I like
that, actually. I like that.
If you want pets,
pet Icebreaker.
If you want pets, you can go play a hunter in WoW, and you can tame basically any animal in the world. And you
I did
can
that
go...
in Guild Wars. I had
yeah.
Here's
that.
The
there
problem.
Go.
Pet dire
Here's
wolf.
The problem. It's not a first-person shooter.
You can go first-person. You can go first-person in the game.
Really?
Yeah. You zoom the camera all the way in. Congrats,
where do I sign
person.
Up for WoW? How do I get on this?
WorldofWarcraft.com. Costs $15 per month, plus your dignity.
Plus your dignity? Oh, my gosh.
There you go.
Okay,
it's okay. We don't
like,
have
the
any.
The exotics, I honestly think most of the exotics are coming back. Because, like,
yeah.
I think they were planning on doing that in the first place, but then the timeline, new CEO, you had to make a new expansion, all that crap. Hit the fan, so they had to buff this stuff out. Obviously, there was exotics that they never released that we heard about, so probably getting those as well. Yeah, I think most of it's coming back for year three. Like, it's a sizable amount of it's going to be infusible up until they finally say, bye-bye,
Destiny 2.
One, here comes Destiny 2. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just heard it was delayed till 2018, sorry.
I don't know, like, for the price...
No!
At this point, it's like, whatever. Hey, whatever, I don't care.
No, at that point, there's a fracture in my heart.
No, it's okay, you have No Man's Sky. You'll be able to... that'll fill the void.
True. No Man's Sky is nice. There's a lot of games coming out, actually.
There's a lot of games coming out. Like, I think for the $30 price, like, it kind of makes sense that everything that we have now would be infusible, because that would be a fuck ton of that'd be a lot of new stuff. To you know, fill the game.
There's a lot of love for Thorn in another part of the community that doesn't get as much of a voice.
Yeah, and look, Thorn had its time.
Thorn is gone. Okay.
I don't want that thing. I don't even care if it's not even as good as it
was. I don't care if it
was.
Does like one tick of damage.
It's basically what it does
now. I hate
now.
The sound. I hate the way it looks. I hate everything about. Nope. I have, like, PTSD from Thorn.
I
can't, mentally cannot, and emotionally, I can't.
If I get hit by it, and it's like, even though I, you can show me a before and after picture of the screen glow, I don't care because I just see red whenever I get hit by Thorn. Just boom, I can no longer see because I can hear the fucking hissing, I can see the glowing shit coming off my body. I don't care, it's just I have been hit by Thorn. It could only do one damage. Its impact could do one damage. It could not actually tick for any damage. It just exists. I know that's
And I instantly highly hate illogical. The person using it.
I highly love it.
You're a bad person. Your mother doesn't love you.
Yeah, exactly. Basically. My exact
I think you're adopted.
Guys, I think you might have to set the emotional side apart and just embrace for the fact that it's probably coming.
I think Thorne is coming back.
I think it's coming back. I'm in the same camp. I don't want to like see the green hiss. Like the two tap Thorne both gave me like nightmares and also excitement when I did it to people. You know, it was, I was like a drug dealer taking the drugs at the same time. It was bad.
If we brought back Thorne, but the Vanguard has taken its poison away. So now it has no exotic perk, and it's just a regular hand cannon.
It'd be cool if brought back or brought the ruse in, right?
There we go. Hey, that'd be cool. You know what?
That'd be an awesome exotic, though.
It would be.
But I think Thorne's coming.
No.
All right, next question is really related, so I'm just going to ask it in the middle of this conversation.
Okay.
At ZeroHero151, do you guys think we'll get the Mythoclast and the Necrochasm back in ROI?
Never.
No.
I don't think so.
Never?
No.
I just don't see it happening.
No. I don't foresee that happening either.
I think we are. I don't think we're going to get it necessarily on the Rise of Iron update. I think it's going to come towards the end of that expansion, or it's going to come right before we get Destiny 2. I think they're going to make a farewell patch, and those two exotics are going to be part of it, or maybe a patch before that farewell patch happens. Mm-hmm. I think it will be restored to its full power again. I really do.
I've started to theorize a timeline that's all made up in my head where we get Rise of Iron, we get another update in spring, and then we get Destiny 2 in fall of 2017. And I could see in the spring them just saying, here it is. Everything is now, you know, year 3 level, power level. You
Fate
know,
bringer.
Play with all this for the summer. Yeah. It's just going to be like no holds barred. Everything's there. At Brandon Wilkes, pick a map that hasn't been a trials map yet. For me, Shores of Time would be nice.
No.
Wow, that disdain.
Well, that was a well-reasoned response. Thanks for taking the time.
Wow.
Like, imagine how unbalanced that map would
be. Did you just fart in my mouth? Because that's what that
sounded
like.
It would be terrible. Unless they change the spawns and change where the flag cap is to be random.
No, you know what they need to do, though? Like, they need to honestly make that randomly spawn anywhere.
They should.
Flag cap.
I like that.
That needs to be a feature that is permanently in there. But it would be a very imbalanced map.
Yeah. I don't want to play Shores.
Shores would be frustrating because sea spawn is sniper spawn. Have fun peeking those things.
And they need to bring Bastion, man. Let's have a really big map, play trials on it, and have everybody play trials for that week.
Well, that's what I want. Let's do it. With sparrows enabled, so we can just like run at them with sparrows.
Oh, sparrows trials!
That'd be cool.
Let's go,
Sparrow Racing League for trials.
I like
there
it.
You go.
That sounds incredible.
There we go.
You know,
where'd it go?
Fuck it, Cathedral of Dusk. Wait, is that the big one? Yeah, I think that's the big one. Yeah, that
just made me have the same reaction that Watts just had about Shores of Time.
I know.
Have we been on the dungeons yet? Did we do that?
No, we have not done the dungeons.
God, dungeons. There we go. Ugh. All of them.
I don't mind the dungeons.
Bad,
I like
let's
the dungeons
do it.
Map.
I think dungeons could make for an interesting map. Honestly, for an interesting trials map. Yeah.
Yeah. What if we? Oh, Vertigo. Vertigo hasn't happened.
Was Vertigo not
right? Wait, was it? No, I don't think so.
No, Vertigo has never happened. Yeah, Vertigo's never happened. I think it's. I don't know. It's too big. It's got the teleporter on it.
Teleporter
not sure
would break a lot of things.
I'm not sure it would make for a good trials map.
Yeah. At Sigo Joe, what's everyone's favorite E3 moment of 2016? Can be good, bad, or anything in between.
I'm going to go with the Swedes coming out in the Ubisoft conference.
That was awesome.
Dude, that was awesome.
That was awesome.
And then he rubbed the guy's head.
Blood dragon.
He rubbed the guy's head right at the side, and the guy was like,
"What the fuck
are you doing?" Yeah.
No,
I bought that game almost immediately. Sold.
I have, I think, two moments. First one was a comedy moment. during the Xbox conference when they announced like the Xbox Scorpio, and they showed like the little the thing of all the developers talking, and one guy said, "It's gonna have the best pixels. These are gonna be the best pixels you've ever seen." And I was like, "Did fucking Donald Trump write this script? What is this?"
That was great.
Yeah, and so I facepalmed hard there. And the second thing was seeing one of the developers for the For Honor game during the Ubisoft conference. I don't know if you guys saw that, but it was like this old guy with a cane and like a Gandalf beard.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit, the passion that guy spoke for his game. He clearly
for
enjoyed
For Honor, right?
For Honor. Yeah. I did not know about that game before that conference. And I saw the cut or the trailer for it, and I was like, okay, this is an interesting trailer. And then that guy spoke with, if you guys saw the Unravel presentation last year, where the guy was just really charismatic, he really enjoyed the game. It's that same level, but on a much darker tone. Like, he was in character for the For Honor thing. It was fantastic. I highly recommend you guys go watch that. I went from knowing nothing about it to being like, I'm going to check this out, because if that developer like cares that much about the game, then I'm just like, I will gladly take a look at it because of that, because of that one guy.
For me, it was the VR presentation Sony did. It was the first time I saw games that really made me want VR.
Mm-hmm.
I've wanted VR because of what it represented, and theoretically it could be very cool, but I'd never seen games that got me excited to play VR before. These games, they showed like 3 or 4 games that got me really amped.
Nice. For me, it was Resident Evil. When it finally showed the evil part being the 7, and it was like, this is Resident Evil. I was like, oh my god. Resident Evil, not only...
I noped all the way through that trailer. Person. And then they're like, VR? No, nope.
Yeah, first person, VR, back to being like a horror survival game.
And it was more like Silent Hill. Like, everyone thought that was Silent Hill. Everyone.
I actually thought it was Outlast or something.
I thought it was Outlast, too.
When I saw the roach, I was like, that's Silent Hill. The roach, Silent Hill. That's like Silent Hill thing.
Were they SIBO roaches?
Huh?
Were they SIBO roaches?
God damn it.
God damn it. For those of you that...
I'm going to play it and be terrified and scream the entire way. It's going to be great.
In terms of games, though, like, when I saw Battlefield, I was freaked out. I was like, that looks amazing. I need to play that game. And having Snoop Dogg light up a blunt and try to get 420 dank scopes live, I was like,
oh my god, that was awesome.
Wow. Wow.
just seeing him sitting there with a controller just...
Yeah. It's like...
did not give a single fuck. No, it's like...
And he was like hiding in the trench too, not like going after kills. that's great.
What's your moment? Did you get to tune into E3 much? Oh, Resident Evil? Okay. All right, sorry.
Yeah, that was me. That was like I love Resident Evil so much, and I've loved it as a scary game. And to see that they're going super scary and then making it VR, I was like, yes. I'm all about Resident Evil 7.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to check that out. I'm still not sure if I'm sold about VR. You know, I don't know if I want to spend $400 on a Sony VR thing, but... that Resident Evil looks good. It does.
All right. At Tonio Bedford. On stream, he said snipers were too easy to use. In year one, people did not have issues with snipers because of strong primaries. Thoughts?
No, they had a sniper. It was called Fellwinters.
You also had a final round. So.
Oh. So much disdain over final rounders.
Agent Swiss Tech, this isn't in question form, but pitch what you want to see the story of Destiny 2 to be.
Pitch the story that I want Destiny 2 to be. Was that?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a big question.
That's a big one.
I just want it to be good.
Pick out a nugget that you'd like to see answered or something.
Expand more upon. Well, fuck! It's like anything. Just expand. Like, I don't care what you do with the story. Just put it in the fucking game. Don't make me go read Grimoire.
Put the story in the game. There we go.
I want. I want the Stranger to come back in a bigger way, and I want another form of Vex Evil that we have to go dismantle, just get rid of, and, you know, she's an integral part of understanding that technology and how to beat it.
I want Dark Guardians.
Yes, that'd be cool.
Dark Guardians.
Rogue Guardians.
Let's do it.
I want, like, a little more personality to the whole cast. Like, for instance, I'd like a mission where you go out drinking with Cade Six and just, you know, hang out, get into trouble.
You want a social mission?
You can play a mini drinking game with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That maybe we get amazing. Together and play a little Gwent.
Holy crap. I'd pay DLC for that.
Yeah, that was something that got announced. Gwent at E3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't played Witcher 3 yet, so I don't know how awesome Gwent is yet.
As a Magic the Gathering, I actually didn't play Gwent at all, but all my Magic the Gathering friends were like, guys, there's this game called Witcher 3 where I know you can do amazing things. Like, there's a lot of women you can do stuff with, and they're like, this is a really cool story, but let's talk about Gwent and this game that you'll play in taverns. Like that, and yeah, people love Gwent.
Wow. It's exciting. So, story. Yep. Awesome.
Yeah, more story. More
story.
At Paul DeShane. Can you guys address the websites and spam on LFG for people charging $40 for Lighthouse
visits? We are constantly addressing it, and it's the equivalent of like the we ban certain keywords. So if anyone says a keyword, it doesn't go in. They find new ways, or they find a different way to post the word. We ban that. Like, it's just it's a constant fucking stream of updating the list. We're doing the best we can, but. What you guys can always do is use the report feature, and we'll go from there.
There you go.
Like, it's unless we have someone literally sit there and just block an admin sit there literally and block posts all day. We just have to, you know, work around it. So sorry.
Ignore them. Report them. There, move on.
Ignore them. Report them. Do not support them.
There you go.
Just rhymed them with them a bunch. It's not that clever, Tefty.
Ah, rip my career.
There you go.
Sean Hussey at Genius Geeks. I read this whole thing. I said I wasn't going to do that anymore. Do you think that the new raid will have challenge modes?
Yes.
I think so. Absolutely.
Probably.
Yeah. I think the challenge modes are here to stay.
Yeah.
At Steak Glutton. How has the bond farm been treating you this week?
I got enough legendary marks to just buy the vendor Hawksaw from all of my Omnigold bonds. There you go.
I haven't been able to farm yet.
Mm. Oh. We'll get
on that.
My mom
just left today, so.
Oh, man.
Yep. Just remember, you go in there thinking, 2 hours, do something else. Suddenly it's 6 a.m., where did time go? Why do I have so many blues? Oh, I tried crashing the game, and it was not successful.
Oh, what, the Instagram blues there?
Yeah, because there's no way I'm going to pick those up. I mean, you've already seen the type of Postmaster I have. In fact, I still have a bunch of blues in my Postmaster. I'm just assuming they're going to get pushed out eventually from new stuff that gets acquired in my Hunter. But at a certain point, you get enough blues on the ground that when you kill Omnigol, it looks like she pops 6 engrams. Mm-hmm. And then it's like 9 engrams. And then eventually, I think it's like 12 or 15 engrams.
It just
always
like caches,
fall from the sky.
It just caches the one that you've not picked up as long as you haven't picked him up.
Yeah, I picked it up. I had a lot. They were just...
Fuck. Sorry, that was probably loud as shit.
What did you just
say? I readjusted my leg and I just bumped it into the fucking bottom of my table. My bad, guys.
My God. So I can confirm that you cannot crash your game from having too many engrams. They coded that.
Good
in.
To know.
Yeah. You will drop your frames, though. Like, it was down. It had to have been like 15, maybe even 12 frames per second. When you get close to the engrams and look at them, like the game slows down heavily with that
Does
many
it?
Engrams sitting on the floor. Oh, yeah. It was great.
I actually... turned into your stream, Patrick, when you were playing the raid with Datto.
Uh-huh.
And I heard, I can't remember who it was on the stream, but they're like, why would you need more vault space? Who could possibly fill up 3 pages of vault space? I was like, what are you talking about?
Are you not farming grass right now? I got like 20 sitting in my bank.
Dude, what about roles that might happen to get buffed?
You know? What about my old capes that actually take shaders? Yeah. I need to keep them.
I've got all of my raid weapons from every raid. I had to throw away all my Prison Elder stuff from the first year.
Yeah.
It's tough out there for a Guardian.
There's a lot to keep. And you want to cherish those items. Yeah.
Last Mohican 9, if we don't get custom matches, how about at least letting us use a group of 6 to get into 3-on-3 playlists on Rumble? That's not Rumble, though.
Wait, what? Wait, what was the question?
How about letting us get a group of 6 into Rumble? That'd be nice.
Oh, honestly, it's so you can't, like, reliably just farm. Like, that's probably their reasoning.
They don't want you boosting medals and, you know, bounties and quest lines and all that. It's kind of lame.
It is lame, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
At Pisagnopal, the original G-Horn was built from hundreds of Guardians at Twilight Gap, the armor of them. Do you think Iron G-Horn will be built from Iron Lords? I think they already confirmed this. Yeah.
The quest is,
Yeah, they've confirmed that the quest that you do is you going out and finding, like, scraps of fallen Guardians. Which what we can
assume heroes.
Are fallen heroes. So what we can assume is that we will be finding pieces of the Iron Lords and shit.
Yeah.
Wait. So it wouldn't make sense then to have gone through year one and then reacquire this Galahorn via the same methods. Do you think this is actually a completely different Galahorn?
No, they've shown the stats. Like, they've shown everything on it. It's like it's still going to have Wolfpack rounds, still has tracking. The stats
it's identical unless you get the Rise of Iron one.
Yeah. The stats are different from the year one version, at least from what we can tell. It has like half the velocity, half the reload speed, more blast radius, and faster rate of fire.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just from a lore perspective of like it existing in a game that we've already played, and suddenly now we're forging it.
We're forging our own version of it. The Iron Galahorn is our own personal version of it.
Right, Iron Galahorn.
The Iron Galahorn.
Sounds...
Even though you're also forging your own version of the Galahorn anyway for the quest, but if you pre-order, you forge it. I don't...
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Like, I want some clear information. Like, is this the actual Galahorn from year one?
Yes.
Or is it a revamped one?
But Defty, Galahorn's back.
And it's back in black.
Oh, my God.
Back in black.
I'm done.
There you go.
Put me out. I'm done. Stick a fork in it.
At Sega Dreamcast 91, what weapons have you been testing lately? I've been using the First Curse a lot.
I haven't been able to do anything.
Grasp of Malik. I had 3 different roles that I was interested in trying out.
Mm-hmm. I've been looking at hand cannons again since the 2.3 patch. I miss hand cannons. They were fun to use. Mm. At Treble Claw, what's the most annoying thing with the 2.3 patch? For me personally, it's damage reduction to throwing knives. I don't think we
Patrick can relate
to that.
Agree with that.
Yeah. Rewind back to, I'm going to guess, like 3 minutes into the podcast, if you want to hear my opinions on that.
Most annoying thing. Invisible Guardians taking 2 damage.
Oh, the Invisible Guardians has been fixed, apparently, but the 2 damage thing still exists. So
was it fixed?
Oh, no. That was, like, the important thing for Charles to
You
be.
Can still see the invisible people because it's, like, year one
you can.
Invisibility.
Yeah.
But, it
2 damage is a problem.
2 damage is a very big problem. That's not a good. Yeah.
At Behold the Tyrant, do you think this rash will go away on its own, or should I consult a dermatologist?
Depends how long you've had it for. If you've had it for like a day, it can go away on its own.
Go to WebMD. Type
no,
in your symptoms.
It'll just say you
don't
have cancer.
That's a bad idea. Everything leads to you're going to die.
And then, everything is cancer.
Sorry about your cancer. That's... But yes, oh, man, I had yes, this bump you should on my arm. Go cancer. Check it out. You should go to the doctor. I don't know why you're asking us for advice.
I can't think, even see the rash. How can I give advice?
Yeah, did he supply a picture with that?
We need a picture.
Please no. Please no. Please no.
On the next podcast, get your rash on the stream.
At Z487, oh, judging by the leaked pictures of the Cosmodrome, are you worried that you're going to spend most of the expansion in old areas?
What do I mean, the leaked pictures? Whatever.
No.
There's a lot of new areas they're adding.
Yeah.
It's like they're... We've seen like some new areas and some of the screenshots as well. We don't really know. I can't really answer that until we actually like see the stream and know the scope of the Plague Lands and know the scope of the reworked areas as well.
Yep. Definitely.
Alex R82393, Bungie wants us to feel like the ultimate badass. So why do they always seem to nerf the things that make us feel powerful?
Because it's just like one thing that's powerful, and can't have one kind of guardian being powerful. That's bad.
It's clearly bad.
There's some things that overperform, and it is always worth taking a look at. At some point, though, I think instead of nerfing, they do need to look about raising some of the power level of some stuff.
Overall balancing.
Oh, it's overall balancing, not always doing the nerfing, sometimes doing the buffing.
Well, hopefully with, like, Destiny 2, they can just make it and be like, okay, balancing everything, not just nerf buff.
The thing that we always talk about is, like, power creep, and you don't want shit to... If every heavy was on the level of Gjallarhorn, then no heavy would be, you know, special. Every primary was on the same level as like Thorn was year one, we'd be having some pretty quick fights here in the Crucible. But at the same time, you know, if everything is as shitty as Dreg's Promise, then we're not gonna have a really... It'll be very difficult to last all the way until Rise of Iron.
A lot of things get negated also if you have a really fast time to kill. Recovery, armor, all that stuff. It's like, why have it in there? Also, why have slow fire rate weapons if the time to kill is so slow or so fast?
Why have pulse rifles basically all kill in 3 shots, except for the slowest rate of fire ones, which kill in 2 shots, but the practicality of killing in 2 shots isn't always as, you know, reliable as it is the 3-shot bursts from all the other pulse rifles, which creates this weird thing where you have 3 different archetypes of pulse rifles that all kill in 3 bursts, but then one that just ain't gonna really cut it. There's no reason to use it. Same thing with like the Nerwyn's Mercy archetype. No real reason to use it when the Hawksaw one does it better. Straight up.
Mm-hmm.
If
you want really fast time to kill, there's this game called Call of Duty Black Ops 3. Just about all the weapons will kill really fast.
Yep. Very...
There you go.
Briar. So you know how you and I always have that conversation about the slowest rate of fire pulse rifles and how you absolutely hate them, and I think there's still something that can be
done? I don't hate them.
Oh, okay.
I don't hate them. I just find them impossibly difficult to balance.
Okay, so I don't know when I thought this up, but what if they further decrease the rate of fire of them?
Mm-hmm.
But made it a reliable 2-shot.
That works. As long as the time to kill fits with the rest of the weapons, I'm good with it.
Yeah. Okay. That was like my original, or that was like, I think, the thought I came up with this week, because I like the potential of a 2-burst.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked how, you know, if you missed, you were usually going to die. But I do agree that if the current ones could 2-burst right now, they'd be too strong. So...
Yeah,
sure.
Space it out.
The problem,
up the damage.
The problem would be if you slow down the rate of fire, then if you don't get the 2 bursts, you're fucked.
Exactly. Which feels
but that's the point, right? That's the point.
That's the balance. That's the trade-off. What would the time to kill be, though, if it slowed it down even further?
Fuck if I know.
I would make it like a little bit better than everything else, like maybe a 0.8 seconds or 0.75 seconds, like just a hair better. So if you are able to pull off consistent 2-burst shots, then you are going to win gunfights. Because you're going to lose every gunfight that you don't get that done in. Because it's going to be so bad. because you're talking about literally 0.75 seconds between bursts to make that happen.
Yeah. Just wasn't it was a two burst in at the during this time it, last year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a very reliable two burst.
Yeah.
It was a reliable two burst. I don't know. I just it's so difficult to balance.
It is. I mean, clearly we want to see we can there's still stuff that can be done, and I bet Bungie's fucking working on it right now, but you know, hopefully that's one of the things that we see in like one of the streams is that slow rate of fire pulse rifles are getting better. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
I like your idea, but I don't think I'd ever use that weapon because the mm-hmm. penalty would be so high.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
for missing
and then for me, I like those types of weapons where like if it's used to its absolute best of ability, then it's going to be mm-hmm. one of the strongest weapons.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. At TKD Knight, what's the point of primary ammo reserves? It's the most annoying thing to run out of primary.
Didn't I like ask that question?
We had like a really long three or four
podcasts ago. I said, "What the fuck is even the point of primary ammo?"
Destiny 2, where the primary ammo
goes
is
away.
Infinite.
There you go. We played Overwatch. We liked it. And now we're putting it into our game.
The takeaway was dedicated servers are awesome. And 60 FPS and infinite primary ammo.
You didn't say anything about netcode there, Tefty.
Yo, it's implied. Let's be honest. Dedicated servers, that's implied.
At Iron Prime 72, does the sweeper robot in the hangar deserve a raise for always working hard or be fired because everything's fucking dirty?
How many sweeper robots are there actually in the tower? I know there's only like three in the whole tower, right?
I think it's about three, right? One by the speaker.
I want to say one by speaker. You know what? I'm going to go to the tower. I feel like we need this resolved right here. I want to know because if not, then he's working as hard as he can. If it's dirty. Otherwise, if there are like five or six, then you know they are clearly way too unionized, and we need to get in on that.
Guardians are just really messy fuckers. They never wipe.
They
the
go outside
they
a lot,
tower,
and they're
right?
going in the crucible, getting all dirty.
They got dragged blood all over their boots.
Yeah,
if a
guardian gets blood on him and they die and then get respawned, do they still have the blood on them?
Hmm.
It's the most we've ever thought about a question on the podcast, by the way. That was a solid 3 second pause. Still pausing.
Made me consider all kinds of things about Destiny.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go over to the speaker area first. I spawn in the tower. This will take a little bit, but we need to do this.
All right, while you're doing that, I'll ask the next question.
Okay, yes.
At ACVTH7, do you believe the PS4 Neo will be released before the Rise of Iron?
No.
No.
I think the answer is no, right? We know
not
the approximate
remotely.
Release date.
Yeah, there's not even a remote chance of that happening.
Yeah.
However, I do think that the PS4 Neo and the PlayStation, or the PS4 Neo and Destiny 2 will probably be like one and the same. I'm pretty sure it'll try to be like a launch title for it.
Neo? Neo's supposed to come out this year.
Really?
Yeah. Scorpio's coming out next year.
That's a rumor.
That's a rumor. True.
What they said, the rumor, or actually what the, I think it was the CEO or something like that said, was that they're not ready to show the Neo because they want to make sure there's enough titles to show off what it can do.
But then they said they were going to show it at Gamescom.
When's Gamescom?
In August.
At the end of summer?
It's in August.
Yeah.
Did they say that they're going to show it at Gamescom for sure?
I don't remember. There's
I think
so
that's
much
a rumor.
Rumor right now. Yeah, it could be.
I think this is all rumors.
All he did was confirm that it exists, and they didn't want to talk about it until they have actual demos or like actual gameplay showing off what it can do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yo, isn't there usually a sweeper robot by Shax? Remember, like the Shax?
Maybe they don't work so hard.
Maybe this guy's fucking lazy and sleeping on the job.
Right?
Look at all these leaves.
There's
in
another
here.
Question. Does robots need sleep?
Do they dream of
right?
electric sheep?
Do they dream of electric sheep?
Ah.
At LaughingMan911, what price do you think the Scorpio is going to be?
I've talked a bit about this.
Expensive.
Okay, I think it's actually going to be $500.
Nope.
And I also think that Microsoft is in the position to absorb and take a hit. If any company is in the capability of doing it, I think it's Microsoft is. Because they know that they have to make up for loss of power in both Xbox One not being as powerful as PS4, and also in the visual side of everybody thinking that Xbox is not as powerful this generation. So I think they're willing to take a price hit, sell it below cost, because they need to make up market share.
$500.
And also, but also, listen to this too. It's in a year and a half, and prices for that hardware could come down significantly.
And look at these GPUs that AMD is releasing right now, or they're like on. They're on their way to be about out. Is they're very powerful and very inexpensive, so Microsoft might be talking to AMD about putting something like that into the next Xbox, and that's where they can come up with the 60 million teraflop thing or whatever it's called.
six teraflops,
million teraflops. Let's go.
Yeah,
which six teraflops is a lot. That's right. I think it's equivalent to a GTX 1070 roughly.
Which is,
I thought it was a 970.
What's that? Yeah, it's good. It's gonna it's like good. The 1080 good, is 9 teraflops, so it's gonna be beefy.
I think if they sell it at 500 in a year and a half, they're still going to be incurring about a $300 US loss.
I don't think they can sell a console for more than like $500-$600 though.
Like
a lot of people are throwing around like $800-$900. Like there's no way they could sell that.
It's gonna
not
kill
mass
it.
Market.
It's gonna kill it.
By the way, two sweeper robots in the tower. I don't see.
Two.
I do not see unless he's unless he's gone somewhere. I do not see a third. There are only two in my tower instance. So there you go.
Well, looks like they're getting.
They're doing their best.
No, they're
doing their best.
They're doing a shit job. when I see shit work happening, I'll call it out. They need to get reprogrammed. Wipe them.
What do you guys think it's going to sell for? The Scorpio.
600.
Seven. I'm going to go with
700. I think 600 is the absolute top end they can sell a console for. And even that, PS3 launched at $600 and it sold very poorly.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. They know that the history of consoles is like they can't have a super expensive console, but they also have to recoup image. And Microsoft makes a ton of money.
Yeah.
You know? Sony, on the other hand, they make a lot of profit off of PS4 in the gaming, but the other divisions, not so hot. They've had a lot of problems in the other divisions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they shut down their phone division, I think.
Yeah, Sony Ericsson went out a while back.
Yeah, that hit the fan. I don't think
their
TVs are doing as good.
TVs are not doing as good.
Computers obviously aren't doing very well.
Isn't like life insurance one of the biggest things that they sell in Japan?
Really?
I'm serious about that, by the way.
My console and my life insurance.
Sony Life Insurance Company, LTD, is a Japanese insurance company founded in 1979, headquartered in Tokyo. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
At Brian Drama, House of Wolves brought sidearms, the Taken King brought swords. Does the PD crew think that Rise of Iron will bring a new weapon type?
I do. I don't know what it's going to be, but I do.
Yeah.
I think there'll be something.
Steel-toed boots.
Steel-toed boots.
I got exotic ones of Doc Martens.
The kick thrust. You triple tap the O button.
There's a 3 second. There's these 3 second.
3 second delay.
Between,
obviously.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll see a new weapon type, but I think that that axe relic thing will just play a really big role, and it won't be as underwhelming as the scorch cannon was. Like the scorch cannon had so much potential, but it's like it had 10 shots, and then I don't know. It just felt really underwhelming overall, unfortunately.
It was fun to
From
use.
The images of the axe, it looks like they're placing it down.
Yeah, there's like
places,
it looks like there's a shield with it or something.
Yeah, it looks like it's a lot more than the Scorch Cannon.
It feels like more of a Vault of Glass type relic from.
Right.
We've seen there's a big dive attack. I imagine there's a two type of on ground attacks. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a shield attack because that's what some of the screenshots looked like. So yeah, I imagine it's going to be a very interactive weapon, and I hope it's. I just hope it's going to have a really big presence to kind of make up for maybe not having another weapon type.
Somebody said grenade launchers, and I thought that would be interesting. Hmm. You know, like a rocket variant. But
Noob tube?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoots volleys of volleys of grenades.
Interesting. That'd be interesting. Yeah.
All right, at PSN Jelly Belly, at what point do we get updated Vault of Glass? I think it's the perfect summer event to last us until Rise of Iron.
Never.
Nope.
I think it's going to be the final patch for this version of Destiny.
I like that idea, Tefty. I'm gonna adopt it as my own.
Yeah.
I'm going to incorporate it.
You're more than welcome to. Preach it. I hope Bungie makes it a reality before this copy of Destiny is sealed away.
Yeah. Just bring everything up to the same power level and bring all the raids up to... I like it. At Jay Swagger, do you think we'll get a summer live event to tide us over until September? I think we'll see SRL during the summer.
I don't know. I think we'll see something, but I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like they would have said something by now. I feel like out of... That was asked so much at E3. Are we going to see something during the summer?
That's true.
And they didn't exactly dodge, but they didn't exactly, deny it either. So, I don't think we'll be seeing anything.
At JD from IE, Deej slipped up at E3 and mentioned February instead of September. Simple mistake, or could
it's a fucking mistake. It's a simple mistake.
It was a mistake. It's a mistake.
Yeah, it's just a mistake.
Yeah, just a mistake.
I disagree. It's the truth.
Oh shit!
It'd be cool if we got a February.
Destiny 2.
No, no. Well, maybe that'd be awesome. That'd be great. But if February we got another expansion, that'd be great. DLC of some sort.
That's what I hope.
I'm sorry, I'm reading through these. We've answered so many of these during the podcast. So
pick
it's
like
just
pick
longer
like
than
pick
usual.
Like two more. Pick two more.
Yeah, because
we're nearing. We are at 2 hours and 20 minutes right now.
All right, at AC Slater, do you think there will be a level increase from 40 in Rise of Iron? Will there be a spark of light for new players?
I believe they've actually confirmed that they will not be raising the level 40 level. They're just only raising the light level.
Just
cap.
Their light level?
Yeah.
Then no.
Yeah.
At Timmy Settlemoir, what do you guys think if Randall the Vandal became the new raid boss in Rise of Iron?
Be awesome.
Sure.
That'd be great.
He'd be all augmented with the SIVA stuff.
Right.
It'd
only be cool if they actually kept his name Randall the Vandal. Yeah. They put Randall the Vandal above his name. That was the raid boss's name.
No, they'd have to name him like Randall.
Randall.
Ryan. The posh Vidal. Yeah.
It would be, if they don't do that, what would be awesome is if they made him a strike boss.
It would be cool.
Drag,
yeah.
Yeah, a certain drag has been meddling. Or, I mean, it's Randall. A certain vandal, sorry. A certain vandal has been meddling with the SIVA and must be taken out. Who's the strike?
So, thank you for tuning in to the, what was it, the 75th? 75th? 74th?
I think so.
75th. That was the 75th Planet Destiny podcast. You go and find me. You can find me at Holtzman _PD on Twitter, as always.
I'm Briar Rabbit. You can find me at The Briar Rabbit on Twitter. You can find me on YouTube on the Briar Rabbit channel. You can find me on Twitch if you search for Briar Rabbit. Just got partnered this week. I'm very excited about that. So
congrats.
Come on over to my bye. Thank you very much. And, of course, streaming on the Planet Destiny channel as well.
You can find me at Teft on Twitter, because I am Tefty Teft. You can catch the streams I do for Planet Destiny Like tonight, I do the Thursday stream, and then I make the video afterwards. And then also, you can catch me on my personal channel, twitch.tv/teftyteft. I got an Instagram where I show scuff controllers. I got a Snapchat that I never use. What else I got? My YouTube channel, my personal one, also doesn't really get as much love lately either. So there's that.
You got that LinkedIn?
I don't have LinkedIn. I stay away from that.
You have that Friendster?
And I'm Miss 5000 Watts. You can find me on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, all the social medias. Miss 5000 Watts.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
I'm checking MySpace right now.
Thank you for tuning into the podcast, and we will see you next week.